heaven. A place, a city, a home, by Ian Bounds. Chapter 4, Paradise and Eternal Life. Go on and faint not. Something of yours is in heaven, besides the flesh of your exalted Savior, and ye go on after your own. Time's threads shorter by an inch that it was. An oath is sworn and passed the seals, whether afflictions will or will not, ye must grow and swell out of your shell and live, and triumph and reign and be more than a conqueror. For your captain, who lendeth you on, is more than conqueror, and he maketh you partaker of his conquest and victory. Samuel Rutherford. The word paradise is used by Paul as equivalent to the third heaven, the abode of God. So also the word paradise is used in Revelation. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which grows in the midst of the paradise of God. Paradise is a place separated, distinguished, emphasized as a marked and distinct place, and as a place of eminent distinction and beauty, as the abode of God and the angelistic beings into which true Christians will be taken after death. God's paradise, how matchless its beauty, how unparalleled in every excellency, dignity, and loveliness it must be. To that the thief was to be translated that day, glorious, gracious, home to him, when that jeering and infuriated mob took him out, that his cross might defame and cast equal odium on that of the Son of God. How, instead of increasing the ignominy and shame of Jesus, it added to the luster and power of that cross by lifting a robber from the shame and guilt of the cross to the glorious beauties of heaven. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, has given hope of immortality to many a sinner, as he has lifted his prayerful dying eyes and said, remember me. Heaven is a place of rarest beauty and purity, but the sinful robbers go there washed in the blood of the Lamb. With me, what exalted glory, supreme dignity, divine companionship for a thief. How close the union, how infinite the condensation of Jesus to be the companion, and to share his glory and joy with him. One of the noblest memorials to the death of Jesus is that thief lifted from the cross of guilt to a throne of glory. The wonders of that death. What tongue can tell of its marvels? What imagination discover its miracles? This is one of them. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But that is only the beginning, the index printing to its untold volumes. In the notable conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus, the position to which he was elevated, all who believe in him is denominated eternal life. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 15 through 16. And again, in the fourth chapter, verse 36, the eternal glory is designated as eternal life, and it is the harvest of a faithful, patient sowing and tilling in this life. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. The resurrection is unto life. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5:28. That wonderful saying to Martha is the declaration of the same great truth, that the crowning glory of the future is eternal life. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. John 2, verses 23 through 27. So also we hear Jesus say, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. John 12, verse 25. We come to that magnificent comforting promise which Jesus gave to his disciples among his last talks with them before his death, while the gloom of Gethsemane and Calvary was on them and on him. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. Heaven will rejoice and relieve all troubles of this life. Every earthly pain is to be eased, all fierce trials quenched, all tears dried by heaven. Jesus in this statement made heaven a place. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, where I am, Jesus is local and located in heaven. There ye may be also. Somewhere in God's house of many mansions does Jesus hold sway, set up on his throne and manifest his glory. There with this exalted Lord, his saints dwell in eternal unalloyed good. We cannot fail to see not only the purpose and inflexible decree of Jesus to have us in his Father's house, but also the longings of his heart. Where I am, there you may be also. An announcement of association and eternal union in facility, honor, and power. This comes out most fully in his sacerdotal prayer. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Not idle speculations of that glory, but sharers as well as seers of that glory. That Jesus wants us with him is not a mere sentiment to adore or sweeten, but it is declared, operative, and eternal decree. Father, I will. His heart and authority are in it. I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, says Paul. To be in heaven is to be with Christ, at home with the Lord. That Jesus has gone to heaven to appear in the presence of God for us is true, and that by the mystery and ministry of his death and the glory and wealth of his intercession, he is preparing a place for us and preparing us for the place is also true. Jesus is exalted in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God. The throne is the symbol of power, and the right hand the symbol of honor, glory, and majesty. So Jesus is exalted to the highest place in heaven, to which God's power can raise him. The apostle declares the exalted dignity of Jesus thus, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The highest position of legal glory is his, and we are to be with him and share his place, and be partners with him in all the splendors and emulations of the eternal world. With what divine modification and magnification does God crown and exalt and glorify Jesus? So with the same exhaustless munificence and magnificence, the Son dispenses to his glorified ones the boundless wealth of heaven. What Jesus has done for us here in the startling and extravagant advent of himself in this world, his humiliation and suffering unparalleled to in the annals of time and of eternity. These are the true mirrors of the wonderful, unspeakable, and indescribable things which he will do for us in the other world, but only the faint reflections of them. For his ability is much increased, and the conditions far more favorable there for him to do for us than when under the limitations which fetter him here. What will be the material blessings and settings of that heavenly life we cannot tell, but that they will be of the purest and most exquisite form and material we may be well assured, and of the most reposeful and rapture-giving kind. Of one thing we are constantly reminded, that Jesus will be with us and will serve us ever like a shepherd feeding his flock on the richest and best food of heaven, and leading us even to new and living fountains of blessed knowledge and light. To have Jesus with us will be the aim and sum of all happiness and of all perfection and of all good. What beauty in his face! What wealth untold in his character! How illimitable his resources to bless eternity can only unfold! This Christ, what matchless, indescribable charms has he here for those who are possessed of his love. The gifted and saintly Samuel Rutherford, while in prison, overflowing with love, uses his greatest great gifts, which by his great love are turned to poetry, to speak of Jesus and his loveliness. I never believed till now that there was so much to be found in Christ on this side death and heaven. Oh, the ravishments of heavenly joy, which may be had here in the small gleanings and comforts that fall from Christ. If Jesus was so much to the gifted and holy Samuel Rutherford, while banished and a prisoner, and in this world, what must he be to those in heaven? What ineffable beauties must there be in the unfoldings of his character to the glorified? What a heaven it must be! It cannot be said too strongly. We are bound to love heaven for Jesus' sake. We are bound to long for heavens because Jesus is there. We are bound to be filled with transportation joy when the hour comes to go there, because it is the hour to see Jesus, the hour to meet Jesus, the hour to enjoy Jesus, and to enjoy him forever, the hour to be with him and to be with him forever. O paradise, who does not crave for rest? Who would not seek the happy land, where they that love us are blessed, where loyal hearts and true stand ever in the light, all rapture through and through, in God's most holy sight. O paradise, the word is growing old, who would not be at rest and free, where love is never cold.